20 minutes before 9 o'clock, 8:40 on AM 970, The Answer with Joe Piscopo on the radio. Joseph Connor is the co-author of the new book, Shattered Lives, which chronicles the devastating impact of the Francis Tavern bombing, in which his dad, Frank Connor, was murdered in a decade-long hunt and prosecution of the FALN perpetrators. Joseph, welcome back to the show, man. It's great that you came in the studio. We appreciate it. We're feeling for you, and congratulations on the new book.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Well, I love the way you keep your daddy's legacy alive, man. He would be. I got to tell you something. He would be so proud. Remind us, if you would, Joseph, and I know it's tough for you.
Sure.
What happened with your dad at Francis Tavern all those years ago?
Yeah, my dad was 33 years old, and he worked at the Morgan Bank. He got the job out of high school, so he didn't become a cop or a fireman like so many of his friends. His mom got him the job. She was a cleaning lady there and the best woman I ever met. So he had a nice, safe job until he walked into Francis on a Friday afternoon, sat down with clients, and actually moved tables because they didn't like where they were sitting. Suddenly, a man came walking in, placed a package behind the table where he was sitting, kind of disappeared into the busy lunchtime crowd. And a few minutes later, the package detonated. It killed four people. It had actually been kicked slightly before it exploded, or the murders would have been much worse. But about 60 people were injured. My father was killed immediately. And that day we were going to be celebrating my 9th birthday and my brother's 11th. And, he never came home for our parties at night.
And forgive me, Joseph, how do you find all this out on your birthday?
Well, my mom had called the office, and when she heard about the explosion, and when my father didn't pick up the phone, she said he was there, wasn't he? And they didn't know. She had these sort of premonitions. We came home from school. She kind of didn't say much at that point. We went outside to play like we always did. And soon she called us in and said, guys, he was there. And I kind of was hoping he was under rubble and that kind of thing. And as a 9-year-old, you think your dad's indestructible.
Yeah.
And then the guys from his office came and told us he was dead. And, it was the turning point of a life at the age of 9. So.
Yeah. How do you comprehend that? Because I remember, and we talked about this before, my dad was shot by a nut job, when I was 10 years old. Yeah. And he was shot at random by a guy who was just shooting randomly, and I remember, and my daddy survived, but I just remember, you're numb, and you can't absorb it all, and then it's your birthday, and you're planning, and it sounds silly, but for a 9-year-old, that's a big day.
Yeah,
how did you absorb it? How did you, how did your mind really calculate all
this?
Well,
at 9, you can actually figure it out. If you're a little bit younger, it's probably maybe a little bit better, but that night, I remember I asked my mom, is my grandmother, who was my father's mother, I say, is she still our grandmother? And my mom said, of course she is.
Wow.
And then I kind of knew the family would stick together. What I never appreciated, Joe, until I wrote this book is there was other families who people were injured, and I always thought they were fortunate as families that no one was killed, and they were. But the effect of the attack on the families of those who survived was horrendous too. People moved out of town. They've had counseling issues. People have issues. And, I always thought just because my father was murdered that, everyone else was okay. But it's not the case, Joe. So you went through a huge trauma too. And, I learned a lot about that in writing this book.
Yeah, Shattered Lives. You have to check out Shattered Lives. Joseph O'Connor's dad killed at Francis Tavern. And now your reaction, and I don't like to mention names because this creep doesn't deserve his name mentioned. FALN killer. He was pardoned by Barack Obama. I mean, what were your feelings when you heard that?
Well, look, in 1999, when Hillary Clinton was running for president, Clinton's gave clemency to 14 FALN members, including Oscar Lopez Rivera. They took 30 days to accept the clemency, and Eric Holder pushed the clemency upon them. So I testified at Holder's confirmation hearing about his involvement and actually confronted him last month at a conference in D.C. about it.
You approached Eric Holder, who's, by the way, running for president.
I did. I was at a
about that conference.
I was at a work conference last month in D.C., and he was speaking, and as he walked off the podium, I walked over to him. Other people getting their pictures with him, and I said, I want to introduce myself. I testified at your confirmation hearing, and looked at me quizzically, and I said, my father was murdered by the FALN. And immediately he knew who I was. And I said, look, I just have two things to say to you. One is, how could you get involved in pushing the release of murderers on people? And secondly, do you have any idea what kind of pain that inflicted on a family that had been through this already? And, you know, my cousin Steve was murdered on 9/11. He was my father's godson. We were in the buildings that morning. So anyway, so we'd been through a lot. So Holder, I thought he would sort of say nothing and say, you know, walk away, but he didn't. He said to me, well, if I remember right, their sentences were too long by the sentencing guidelines at the time. And I said, well, that was absolutely untrue. The Burton report refuted that because, you know, I know my stuff and I was able to shoot back at him. And at that point, I gave him a business card and I said, look, Mr. Holder, and I was, you know, I was respectful. I said, look, Mr. Holder, I'd love to hear what your side of the story is. And I handed him my card and I said, please give me a call. Now, he never gave me a call. I never expect to get a call, but I really hope I ruined his night when he's thinking about running for president. He's going to have to face his involvement in the release of murderers and terrorists.
Joseph Connor, so your reaction when this killer, this FALN killer, was honored at the Puerto Rican Day Parade? Well, you got to go through that.
Then. It was unbelievable. Lopez turned down the clemency from Clinton. I went to his parole hearing in 2011 with some other family members. Mm. We kept him in. He gets clemency then from Obama on his way out, and then he's made a hero, a freedom hero. Now, he was a murderer. He was a terrorist. He had nothing to do with freedom. He wanted to subjugate the Puerto Rican people into another Cuba. And since his release, he has been to Cuba several times. He's been to Venezuela. He was just at a communist forum in Rio. And the other thing that I didn't have when this happened last year is I found photos of Oscar Lopez outside Francis Tavern the day of the bombing. And the photos are in the book, Shattered Lives. They're on my website, wewinamerica.com. And I've passed them on to the Joint Terrorism Task Force in New York to review them. So far, they've not really moved on anything yet. But take a look. Look on my website, wewinamerica.com. Look at the photos. Go if you get the book, and I hope you do, because I think you'll get something out of it. You'll see the pictures in there. So this guy was involved in the attacks. He was a leader of the FALN. He turned down clemency in 1999. He talked to the FBI agents who investigated. Mm. He was about as bad as you get.
Really? And he was like, what? And I hate to even give the FALN any credence here on the show, but they were just like, I guess, supposedly be pro-Puerto Rico I don't even want to, I mean, it's a bogus situation.
It is a bogus situation because 95% of Puerto Rican people look for statehood rather than independence. So this was, look, they were Marxists. They were very connected to the Weather Underground. There's a great book out there called, by Brian Burrow, God, his name is slipping me right now. But anyway, Brian Burrow wrote a tremendous book about connecting all these terrorist groups together. And they were all these subversive Marxist communist book, Days of Rage, it's called, book, people from the 1970s. And they were all connected and they were all communist. They had no business in doing anything for the Puerto Rican people. It was all about themselves, about their power, and about their philosophies.
As often is the case with terrorists. And Joe, before we let you go, I was brought up in the 60s. You were just a kid. I remember that. How do you compare the cop shootings that are happening today to what we saw back in the 70s?
It's very similar. It's very similar. We're seeing the same type thing with the Black Lives Matter. Their honoring of Assata Shakur. Who's Joanne Chesimard, who's in Cuba, William Morales, the FALN terrorist who escaped from prison, is also in Cuba. So they are absolutely connected. This is the next generation of the radicals from the 60s and 70s. And that's what we're seeing here. And they're being glorified. When you hear Assata Shakur and William Morales being glorified by people as some sort of heroes, it is horrendous.
And then we open up diplomatic relations with Cuba while she's hiding out in Cuba after killing a New Jersey State Trooper.
That's right, State Trooper Warner Forster. And Morales is there, too. And the one thing I call on the Trump administration is to bring these killers back. I've been working on this since the early 90s.
Yeah.
And it's time to bring them back before we do anything further. There's about 70 fugitives in Cuba, but you have Morales, you have Chesimard, and you have Victor Guerena, three of the top ones. let's get them back here. I've been working with the State Department, with the administration when I can, and with our politicians. And actually, Menendez has been okay with it, believe it or not. I'm a Jersey guy, too.
Wow,
he's been okay with this, but we really need to put pressure on our politicians to demand their return.
Joe, you know, it's just great to have you. Our hearts are out for you. We thank you for all that you went through, and you're staying, man. You stay right here in the tri-state area. We love you for that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Jersey. That's what am I going to do? Where am I going to go?
We kind of resign ourselves to the fact that we're living there.
I know. We got to make it better. We got to get a better
keep
senator
fighting,
there.
Keep
I,
fighting.
I will, Joe. You too. I appreciate
Joseph,
it.
Joseph Connor, he co-authored his new book, Shattered Lives, Remembering. Boy, your dad, how proud he is right now looking over you, Joe, and God bless you for that.
Hey,
and
thanks
a
lot.
Yes, sir. And thanks for coming in. You are welcome anytime. Check out Shattered Lives, Joseph Connor. You can just go right to Amazon and get that book now. It's 8:51. Debbie, what a story, huh?
Wow.
Just a heartbreak. And what a